We know that Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, all of these GLP-1 drugs can be life-changing for those that are struggling with obesity, excess weight. And we know that confronting those issues can mitigate a lot of other symptoms that could be life-threatening. But the cost can be crippling to Americans looking to use those drugs. Well, yesterday, the House Ways and Means Committee took the first step towards forcing Medicare to cover these weight loss drugs. Good step. What would it do to the Medicare budget? Because the costs were so heavy that Blue Cross had to cancel it out. Looking at all of this through the practiced eye of both a physician and an economist is Mark Fendrick, University of Michigan professor in the Department of Internal Medicine and the Department of Health Management and Policy. Mark, good morning.
Great to be back, Guy. Thanks for having me.
So let's answer that question. I mean, it's a great thing, the idea that you'd like to be able to cover these weight loss drugs for Americans because they can be life-changing. But what would that do to Medicare's budget?
Yeah, you know that my entire career has been based on improving access and affordability to healthcare services that work. And my entire career, 30-plus years, I've been looking for an intervention that actually will help people lose weight and hopefully prevent the side effects that are associated with having so much unhealthy weight. But here we have the classic tension between what we can do and what we might be able to do. And given the billions of dollars that would need to be spent to get every Medicare beneficiary on these drugs for long term, requires us to really think this through before we let the horse out of the barn, so to speak.
You know, there's been criticism that the current version of the bill restricts coverage to individuals with obesity, excluding those who are overweight but have weight related conditions. What's your thoughts on these eligibility criteria?
So, Lloyd, it's all about the money, right? I mean, the more people who are eligible, the more money Medicare is going to have to spend. I think, as you know, I try to focus interventions on those who are most likely to benefit. But let me give you an alternative approach to what many people are talking about, since you're inferring that many people believe that you have to be on these drugs for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't know the long-term side effects, but we certainly are aware of some short-term adverse events, like, say, bone loss, which is particularly worrisome in elderly patients or vulnerable seniors on Medicare. So my colleague and I have actually suggested an approach where we use more of these GLP-1s for most people during what I call the active weight loss phase. We all know how hard it is to actually lose weight, and I've been so impressed with these drugs in helping people get the weight off. But I'd love to try an alternative approach, say using behavioral therapy, medically tailored meals, and exercise to help people keep the weight off. Since, Lloyd, most of the money is not in the active weight loss phase, but actually being on it forever, so to speak, if we were able to get a substantial number of people off the drugs and maintain their weight loss with a less expensive version, we could treat a lot more people. And that's the idea I'm actually floating with a lot of public and private payers now, so we could get more people access to the weight loss phase and perhaps find an alternative to where the real money is, which is being on it for months and years.
Behavioral therapy, though, is addressed in this legislation, isn't it?
You are correct. I mean, I like to think about there are many lanes to unhealthy weight. Medication is just one of them. How we eat, how we exercise, and actually be able to learn how to maintain certain behaviors that could prevent you from having that extra 24-ounce carbonated sugar filled beverage, or, you know, your favorite snack, maybe eat one instead of three Oreos at a time. There's lots of things that we could learn from decades of behavioral therapy to get people to do a little bit better. Doesn't have to be stark that we have to be on a strict diet all the time.
Just switching gears to this idea of pharmacy deserts, Rite Aid said they're going to close in Michigan. Walgreens could close a quarter of its stores. What will people do if they don't have access?
Yeah, Jamie, this is a bigger and a different problem in terms of how we have to pay much more attention about what you would call the pharmaceutical supply chain. And so we have the people who make the drugs. They may be heroes or devils. We have the insurance companies that are making it perhaps a little bit easier, more difficult. But in the middle, you have these pharmaceutical benefit managers who are actually negotiating various prices for drugs that are used very commonly. And the growth of mail order, the growth of using particular chains pharmacies have really done a tough job on these independent pharmacies and even smaller chains like Rite Aid to make them really hard to compete. And I am particularly concerned about, you know, people who can't have their medications mailed to them, who live in rural areas or inner city areas where there isn't four different drug stores on every corner, that patients, this is might be another reason in addition to cost, that patients may not be able to get the drugs they need.
Last night, we watched Joe Biden and Donald Trump debate. At the end of the term that they are trying to fill, Medicare will be 6 years away from running out of money in its hospital fund, yet not one of them promoted any kind of a fix. And this will be the sort of Damocles that will cut everybody's benefits automatically if nothing is done. How alarmed are you by that? How concerned are you that nobody is confronting this because it's too politically radioactive?
So, Guy, maybe you'll agree with me that perhaps this election should be settled on the golf course, since the best part of the entire debate was that interaction about various candidates' handicaps.
Because that's how you define fitness, right? Is whether you can get in and out of a golf cart?
Right. Very funny. But I will tell you that, you know, I've been concerned about the American healthcare system. And some days I feel I'm just basically taking water off the Titanic one cup at a time. So let's just bring up the issue that I appreciate you allowing me to say, is that the Medicare program spends billions of dollars every year on things I would never give my patients, because the evidence suggests that at best it doesn't help them and might actually harm them. And by addressing these services, unlike the GLP-1s that are really good and really expensive, mm-hmm. what about those things that you wouldn't buy even if they are free? And fortunately, there are some Democrats and Republicans, both federally and in the state, who are willing to listen about moving some policies forward that may hold providers accountable for doing things just because they can, as opposed to, you know what I suppose, which is doing things that only help Americans get healthier.
Right. Working smarter instead of and confront that gorilla in the room. Mark Fendrick, nominating you for Secretary of Health. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great Friday and a terrific weekend.